Isn't God good? Amen. Let's just give him a praise offering, shall we? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As I was hearing the various ones tell their testimonies of their experience here, I was just itching to say something, too, and just how we've only been with you all just about 15, 16 months, I guess, but it just seems like this has been just a delightful, delightful family connection, and it is just a wonderful place. And if you're visiting here today, we're glad you happened to come today to just get a sense of what God's doing. And we know that God works in places like this all around the world. But he does something unique. He has a unique thumbprint for every church he establishes. And it's just neat to be a part of one of those. And God calls specific people to specific places for certain times for the work that he wants to accomplish. And he's done that down through history. And it's exciting to be a part of God's plan, to know that each one of us was called to be here for a certain season, to be a part of his dream of what he wants to accomplish. That's exciting. We thought a lot about you while we were on vacation. We didn't dwell on the work too much, but we thought about you and we missed you. We had a great time. Thanks for those of you who were praying for us for safe travels. We had safe travels. Did a lot of hiking, a lot of time up in the mountains. And the hottest temperature we encountered on our trip was 116 degrees at Hoover Dam. And the rest of the time was really not too bad. So we were blessed. It was a good trip. I'll tell you more about it later. But today what we want to do is we want to delve into the Word. And I'd like to invite you, if you would, to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. And for those of you who are kind of wanting to find where 1 Corinthians is, if that doesn't ring a quick bell for you, just go to the book of Matthew, which is the first book in the New Testament, and take a right turn. And you go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and then 1 Corinthians. Make sure you're in 1 Corinthians, not 2 Corinthians. And we're going to dig in there. I have several scriptures listed on your notes. We're only going to focus on this one for the purpose of time, but the other ones will be good for you to take a note and look at later. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about what it's like to be a part of a church. And Paul was addressing the church in Corinth. This is a group of people that had gathered together, that he had helped plant a church when he had gone there. And the church was started and it was going, and he was writing back to them, giving them some wisdom and reminding them of some principles of what a church is supposed to be like. And here's what he says. Notice with me in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, it says, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but the same God who works in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." What he's saying is everybody's been given a gift, at least one, and that gift is for the benefit of everybody else in the church. "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills." In other words, God is individually gifting each individual in that local congregation with something to contribute for the benefit of all, and it's not their choice, it's His choice, His purpose. He designed a person specifically for a specific time, specific place in that local body of believers. "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so is Christ. What he's saying is that that church becomes the body of Christ in that community. Since Christ is not in us, not with us personally except through His Spirit, since Christ is in heaven, He sends His Spirit, gifts us so that we will be His hands, we'll be His feet, we'll be His mouthpiece, we'll be His arms, we'll be His heart. And so Christ touches the community and He touches each other through us. That's what Paul is saying to this group of believers, this new church that had been planted some time before. Very important to remember that. And we're going to look at that more in depth as we move along. We'll get to this in a moment. First of all, I'd like to just summarize a few things. First of all, what gifts are not. Gifts are not natural talents. Gifts are not natural talents. Natural talents are things that we are born with. Spiritual gifts are what we are reborn with. You say that with me? Reborn with. We are born with natural talents. We are reborn with spiritual gifts. God gives us specific gifts when we come to Christ. Gifts are not the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit shows my maturity, but gifts show my ministry. See, the fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians 5, fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, self-control. These are things that grow, as you grow in your relationship with Christ, you're going to become more patient eventually. As you grow in your relationship with Christ, in time, you're going to begin to have some victory over some of those addictive patterns. You'll begin to have self-control. As you grow in your relationship with Christ, you're going to become more loving, more peaceful. Those are things that happen as you grow in Christ, and those take time. For some of us, it takes longer than others. But it takes time. But a gift is something that you receive when you come to Christ. And so a person can have gifts and not be mature. So we have to grow up with those. But our gifts reflect our ministry. So the moment you come to Christ, God has a ministry for you that you can get started in, even if you're a brand new Christian. And if you read the book of 1 Corinthians, you're going to find that there were a lot of brand new Christians in Corinth. And many of them were very immature, and so they needed a little guidance as to how to use their gifts. And some of us, in our immaturity, need some guidance as to how to use our gifts. Gifts are not Christian roles. They're not Christian roles. For example, I am a pastor. But my top spiritual gifts do not include pastoring. Pastoring is way down there somewhere. It's in the mid-range somewhere. Interestingly, Pastor Brian has exhortation as one of his top spiritual gifts. I don't think pastoring is right at the very top, is it? But yet we have the role of a pastor. So that's just what we're called, pastors of a local congregation. Many pastors don't have high pastoral gifts. Some of you probably have higher pastoring gifts than we do. And you work extremely well within small group settings or within the groups in which you minister. You pastor people and you shepherd people because that's your spiritual gift. So don't confuse a spiritual gift with a role. Spiritual gifts are not all given to any individual. They're not all given to any one person. Can you imagine how lopsided a body would be if one person had all the gifts and over here people didn't have any? It would be lopsided. So God has a way of distributing them so that none of us get them all. And so we need to be careful of gift projection. Let's say, for example, I have the spiritual gift of intercession. I can pray for hours and hours on end, and I can just continue to pray more. Now, it's not right for me. All of us are called to pray, but it would not be right for me to project that gift onto you and expect you to do the same thing. Or just because I have the gift of teaching doesn't mean that I should expect everyone to feel comfortable getting up in front and teaching. So we don't want to project onto other people the gifts that God has given us. Expect that God has given us gifts to use, and He's given other people gifts to use as well. So there's a balance, and it's distributed. Beware of gift projection. And finally, gifts are not an excuse for not helping in a need area. A gift is to help you understand where your primary ministry should be. My primary ministry should be where I am gifted. But my secondary ministry should be where I am needed. So in other words, when I go into the bathroom and I see that the paper is overflowing, the trash can's overflowing, I don't say, oh, that's not my gift. I hope somebody comes along that has that gift to empty that wastebasket. No. Pick up the wastebasket and go dump it out and put it back so it's nice and doesn't make a big cluttery mess. I have that responsibility. Now, is that my gift? Do I have the gift of helps? Do I have the gift of service? No. But I'm needed in that moment. So we have a meal and there's chairs to put away. I don't have the gift of help, so I'm not going to let somebody else. No. We all pitch in. There might be a need in one of the children's ministries or when we had vacation Bible school. There are people that are serving in those kinds of capacities that's not necessarily their gift, but they're just doing it because it's time to do it. So we all need to serve where we're needed, but we need to focus most of our energy where we're gifted. Now, a couple other things I need to look at with spiritual gifts. First of all, what gifts are? And this comes from our passage today. First of all, gifts are special abilities, not talents. Special abilities. Now, a person can have a talent. So say somebody is born a leader. That person who's born a leader could also get the spiritual gift of leadership on top of what their natural gift was, or their natural talent was, so that they have an aptitude to be able to lead in spiritual areas. But generally, we think of spiritual gifts as unique abilities. And I'll tell you a story just before we close today that illustrates that. They're given by the Holy Spirit. We don't get them because of training, although training can help. If you have a spiritual gift, you can learn to use it more effectively. But we don't get it because of anything special about us. When we come to Christ, it's not because we merit this gift. Or we're better than somebody else because we got this gift. No, it's given by the Holy Spirit, not something that we came up with. And it's given every believer. Every believer has at least one spiritual gift. That means that you are a 10 at something. God has designed you with a gift that contributes something to the body of Christ that nobody else can do quite like you. It's given to every believer, and at conversion, the moment you come to Christ, you receive a spiritual gift. Now, you can get more spiritual gifts as you move along, but you start out with at least one at conversion. I have found that oftentimes, as we go through times in our lives when we have deepening faith experiences, during those deepening experiences, God often is preparing to give us another spiritual gift that's the result of that. Oftentimes, people who have healing gifts, for example, are people who've been through a difficult illness. And they have a compassion for people who are hurting. And they have a special ability to deal with people who are dealing with physical illness. So through that pain, God gives them an additional spiritual gift. So that will often happen. But they start a conversion. And the purpose of those gifts is to, as we just read, to build up the body of Christ. To build up the church, to make the church more effective in loving and ministry and caring for other people. Not every gift is of equal prominence. Not every gift is of equal prominence, but every gift is of equal significance. Now we can say that, we could all name some preachers that are prominent. You can take a Rick Warren or a Billy Graham or someone like that. Those are prominent ministers. But all ministers, in every capacity, and all of us are ministers. All of us have a part in the body of Christ. Every one of us is significant. So in God's eyes, God sees our use of our gifts just as significant as if we were a Billy Graham or a Rick Warren or someone like that. You say, well, a tremendous teaching of someone like Joyce Myers or somebody like that. But when you're teaching in a Sunday school and you're using your gift and you're a local body of believers, you're just as significant in God's plan as someone who's known around the world. And that's very important for us to remember. Because God rewards on significance, not prominence. Aren't you glad? It's all about body function. The importance of gifts has to do with body function. Let's go on into 1 Corinthians a little bit further. And we're going to go in chapter 12 to verse 18. There's so much here. I hope that you'll read more of this later because we can't really do it justice. But we're going to get the highlights today. Verse 18 says, "Now God has set the members against God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased." Just as who pleased? Who? God pleased. It's not my choice, right? It's not your choice, it's God's choice. "And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think are less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and on our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." In other words, what's being said here is that God gives us a place in the body so that we can be Jesus to each other. Who's going to care for your needs? Who's going to be the Jesus that can care for your needs when you're hurting? Who's going to be the Jesus who can care for the community? See, we are to be Jesus to the world. And that only happens if the body is functioning 100%. To the extent that one part stops operating, the whole body suffers. Now, I was listening to a friend of mine who was talking on this subject. And he said to his congregation, "Which body part would you like for me to take from you today?" You know, as you look at your body, is there any part that you just assume get rid of? Not talking about this stuff. I have these love handles that I would love to get rid of. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about functioning pieces here, okay? I have a machete that I got in Africa. And I'm willing, if anybody wants to volunteer, it's really sharp. Anybody have a body part they'd like to lose today? Not me either. Why? I didn't really expect anyone to volunteer. If you had, I would have made an excuse not to do that. Just for the record on the tape. Even that little finger helps you grab stuff. I'm told that if people who have lost a toe have more difficulty with balance, have a difficult time running because they need that the strength of the toes to push off better, to get better speed. Even some of the less presentable parts are significant. We need everything we've got. So when you look at the body of Christ and you say, "Okay, here we go. We're going to," and the hand says, "I'm not going to work today." Okay, so the body of Christ is going out to love without a hand. And the foot says, "Well, we've got so many talented people over in that church. I think I'm not going to participate." So the body of Christ is trying to love. And then the I says, I'm tired. I'm not going to do my part today. So we got... And it doesn't take very long before the whole body stops functioning the way it should function. And that's why Paul is writing to this church. He's saying, you guys need to realize how important you are. Each one of you has a significant part to play, and you need to discover that. Now, there are different types of ways the gifts function in the church. There are the equipping gifts, and then there are the functional gifts. But all of these come under a big heading of ministry. Now, some of us grew up in churches where we were taught that you go to the church, you pay your tithe, and the minister does the work. He's the guy or she's the person. That's the one. So you pay for them to do it, and you sit back, and you come to church, and you go home, and that's pretty much it. That is a concept that came about in the Middle Ages, in the what we call the Dark Ages. And it was called dark because people had stopped following the biblical model. There was a lot of lack of education. The Bible was not in the vernacular. People didn't know their Bibles. And they would come to church to hear from the priest. You know what the Bible says? It says that every one of us in 1 Peter, it says, we are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Every one of us is called to be a priest, to be a minister. And that concept was lost in the Middle Ages, and it still carries over into some churches today. But that's not biblical. There are different functions, but all of us are ministers. Notice what it says here in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. Would you say that with me? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So in other words, God has given some gifts. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And their gift is to equip the rest. So their ministry is an equipping ministry. And then there's the functioning ministry. But all of us are significant in ministry. Everyone has a place. No one is left out. So when people ask you, well, who's the minister at your church? You say, I am. In fact, I'd love to have you go out and get little business cards made up, Hempfield Brethren in Christ Church, and put your name on there as minister. I'd love to see that because that's the truth. I am here, Brian is here, some of the rest of us are here as equipping ministers, and you guys are, some of you are equipping ministers and some of you are functioning ministers, but we're all ministers, we're all doing it. And that's how the body of Christ functions. You say, well, why don't some people use their gifts? Well, the first reason is some people are ignorant of it. It's just ignorance. People didn't know. They were raised in a situation where they thought, well, the pastor does it, and I come and go. If I get there late and leave early, that's fine. As long as I'm there on Sunday, a couple Sundays a month, that's it. No. That's not what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. So some people are ignorant and they just need to be taught. So that's why we're teaching on it. What does the Bible say? Another reason is wounds. Sometimes people have been hurt. And Paul mentions it. He says, if one part suffers, the rest of the body suffers with it. One of the things that temporarily hinders the body going forward is when somebody's in a process, they're hurting. I was ice skating one time, and someone had given me some figure skates, and those things have little jagged edges on the front, and they catch in the ice really good. So I was skating, I was used to hockey skates, I was flying along, and I caught a toe, and I landed on my knee, and oh, that hurt. So after a little while of me just kind of bending over, taking care of my knee, I got up and I said, well, I'm not going to do that again. I'll be more careful. Second time around, I caught it again. Same knee. Oh, ho, 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 ho. I was just groaning. Now, next to me, there was another kid that fell down and was hurting. How much help was I able to give that kid? Nada. Why? I was too hurt to be able to pay attention there. And so when there are wounds, the whole body responsibility is to gather around that wound, try to get that wound healed, so then the body can function again. So wounds sometimes take us out. It can be physical illness. It can be going through a difficult relationship issue. It can be a financial crisis, something that's got you in it, hurting to the point that you're not able to function for a season. The body of Christ wants to grab, come around you and throw their arms around you and love you and bring you, nurse you back to health, not for the purpose of staying wounded, but so that you'll be healed. So when you're hurting, don't stay away from the body, but come around, let people love on you and bring you to healing. Sometimes people have had something said to them that hurt their feelings. Maybe they were in ministry and somebody said something that set with them wrong. Maybe somebody was a little inconsiderate and you got wounded feelings and say, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to serve in that church. You know, all of us get hurt from time to time, and it's important to let people come around you and love you. Try to, as we talk about, whenever you have an issue with somebody, go to that person. Jesus teaches, go to that person face to face, get it worked out between the two of you. Don't make it a gossip thing, but go and talk to them so that you can heal and you can get back to functioning again. So wounds can sometimes get in the way of the functioning of the body, and we need to love one another through those painful times, but not get stuck in them. Another thing that hinders the body, or why people don't use their gift, is maybe they were involved in a misapplication of the gifts. Sometimes people have made where they're needed their primary ministry, and they really haven't used where they're primarily gifted, and so they've exhausted themselves. They've been in something that they're not gifted to do. They're doing it because somebody needs to do it, and that's a great thing. But the person who really has the gift isn't operating. And so when you don't use your gift, somebody else has to come in where they're needed, and you wear them out. Because you're not doing it. Where you're primarily gifted should be rather energizing to you. You should really enjoy what you do in ministry because God designed you for it. He wired you for it. It's going to be fun. So sometimes people don't use their gifts because they got into something that really wasn't them because it needed to be done and they've worn themselves out. And so it's important to rediscover where you're really gifted and spend most of your energy there. And then finally, I just got to say this last one. Some people are lazy. Plain and simple. And I must admit that there have been seasons in my life where I've been kind of lazy when it comes to God's work. And if we're honest, really honest here, probably some of you would have to say, yeah, I've kind of been on a cruising streak here for a while and I haven't been doing a whole lot. You're missing the joy. There's a whole lot of good that happens. Yeah, you know, for my birthday a few years ago, a friend of mine, quite a few years ago now, time flies. On my birthday, he came over to my house and said, I got something for you. I want you to come with me. And he took me in his car that he had a souped up little sports car. And he took me to a autocross race. He was an autocross racer. And that's where they set up cones and they do a timed track. It's usually in a very large parking area, and they set up a race course, and you can run the course, and you're timed, and that you win by speed of the course. And he said, I paid for you to enter, but you get to drive. Here's the keys. Woo! Now, I've always been a race enthusiast, and I've enjoyed watching races, but this time I got to drive. And because it was just cone set up, if I missed a turn or something, I was going to total his car. So I had a blast. It was so, you know, watching racing is fun. Actually racing is far more fun. You know, So, you know, you could come today to church and say, you know, that's pretty neat. 15 years, some neat stuff God's done there at that church. Isn't that nice? You're missing it if you're not involved in it. And, you know, we come to a 15-year mark, but that's the first chapter of this book that God is writing here. There's another chapter, and that chapter is starting today, and you can be one of those characters that is introduced in the second chapter. You know, a lot of books don't introduce all the characters until you get on into the book a little ways. We're in chapter 2 now. And your character can be written into the script of this church. Now, if you have a home church and you're just visiting today, you need to be involved in whatever chapter is going on in the church that you come from. But God has designed you and wired you with specific gifts to be a part. And it's a lot more fun to be behind the wheel in a race car than it is to be on the sidelines. It's a lot more fun being involved in church. When you discover your gifts, you know, as Art was talking about, it's so much fun. It really is. And when you see that your little contribution, my little contribution, helps somebody find Christ, helps somebody come to know the Lord, helps somebody find forgiveness or healing, or there's nothing better. There's nothing better. So what's my responsibility? My responsibility is, first of all, to discover my spiritual gift. And that's why we've made available those spiritual gifts inventories. And if you haven't gotten one yet, there's some out in the lobby. Pick it up. Please pick one up today. It won't take you very long. Take 20, 30 minutes and just go through it. You don't have to overanalyze it. Just write down pretty much what comes to your mind first. Take that inventory and get it to us this week so that we can grade it. When you say grade it, there's no right or wrong. We evaluate it. We'll give you back the report of what your top spiritual gifts are by next week, because next week Pastor Brian and I are going to have a little dialogue time, and we're going to talk about how those gifts operate in the church. It's going to be a little unique way of approaching it next week, but we encourage you to come back and bring friends, and we're going to talk about those spiritual gifts. It can be a part of your discovery process. Discover your spiritual gift. And then study that gift. Once you know what your gifts are, there's lots of materials. You can just go on the internet and write spiritual gifts, and there's so many resources, it's unbelievable. Get some books on your particular spiritual gifts so that you can learn more about it. We will be doing some training here with you and helping you. The next thing would be to train or practice in your spiritual gifts. For example, let's say that you have the gift of teaching, and you'd like to teach, and you have an interest in kids' ministries, but you're a little afraid. What do I do? Well, the best thing you could do would be to go alongside, go maybe volunteer just to be a helper in one of those kids' divisions. Just help. And tell the person that's in charge that you have the gift of teaching. That's what you discovered in your spiritual gifts, and you'd like to experiment a little bit. So they could let you tag along for a little while, and then they might give you a 5-minute segment to do. And just see how that goes. And before you know it, as you use your gift, find out what you can do and what you feel uncomfortable with. And in time, you begin to feel at peace with using your gift. Then you start to function in your gift. So you go through this training practice time. And then you begin to function in that gift to where you're at peace with it. This is something God's wired me to do. I'm enjoying it. And then what happens is somebody else comes along. They've discovered their gift, and you turn around and you equip them, which is the final thing. So as you learn to use your gift, then the time will come when you'll get to help somebody learn theirs. And so the cycle is complete. Spiritual gifts are some of the most exciting. This is some of the most exciting teaching for any church. And when applied, you'll find it is just absolutely thrilling. I'm going to tell you a story about a guy by the name of Jim Ockenfels. I met Jim at a pastor's conference in one of the largest churches in North America, the church, Willow Creek Community Church in Chicago, and I'd gone there for a leadership summit, and they had some people that would give you tours of the campus before the actual meeting started. So our church group that I was with got there early, and we went and said we'd like to take one of the tours. Well, Jim was one of the tour guides, and he said, we'll take you around. So he took us around to this enormous facility, far bigger than anything that I'd ever seen before. It was pretty amazed at all the bricks and mortar and the fancy stuff that they had. And you know, he took us around all these things. And then he took us into the auditorium, and he said, what you saw was a lot of bricks and mortar and some pretty good technical equipment and that kind of thing. You saw that. He says, that's not what this church is about. Those are functional things. Let me tell you what this church is about. And so he had us sit down in a little corner of the auditorium. And then with tears in his eyes, just you could see he was trying to hold them back, he began to tell his story. He said, I was an atheist. He said, I didn't have any church background. I was far from God. I was selfish. All I cared about was me. My wife and I were in the process of splitting up. We were separated. I was running around with another woman. My kids were hurting. It was a mess. And he says, and there was a woman that used to come to that worked in the office. She was one of our office assistants. And every now and then she'd be talking about Jesus to some of her friends. And I overheard it, but you know, tried to push it aside. And one day she invited me to come to her church. And I said, I'm not interested in church. I'm not interested in God. Okay, so he backed off. He says, one day I was kind of depressed and I was moping around the office a bit, and she came up and she says, you know, I really think that church would be a good thing for you. It'd really help you. I'm not interested in church, and don't give me any more of that stuff. I'm not interested in God. Okay. Well, he said the girl that he was dating had this twisted idea that if, you know, even though they were living together and fooling around, and he was married and all the rest of it, that if she went to church on Sunday morning, somehow that made it okay. So she insisted that they go to church. Well, he'd never been to church before in his life, so he, oh, okay, I'll go. So he went to church with her, and he said, I'd never been to church before. He said, but this was awful. He said, I didn't understand what was going on. There were a lot of standing up and sitting down and things and music. He said, I couldn't relate to it at all. And when it was done, she says, well, how did you like that? And he says, that was about the most boring thing I've ever been to in my life. She says, okay, smart guy, let's go to your church. He says, I didn't have any church. Never been to church. This was my only experience. But then he remembered the name that lady had said. And so he just said, well, let's go to this church. And he didn't want to let her know that he didn't have a church. So he just took her the next week. He got directions, and next week they showed up at that church. And he said, as they sat down, the music was relevant. There was some creative elements in the service that were just meaningful to him. And then he said, the pastor got up and began to speak, and it was God's word. And he said, something happened. He said, it was like he was speaking right to me. And the sense of, I now know, he said, it was the Holy Spirit, but there was something special about it. There was like an electricity in the air there. And he said, I was so moved. He went out and he says, now, how'd you like that? He says, I thought that was the most sacrilegious thing I'd ever been to. He said, I couldn't believe it. Here we had these two people with such opposite reactions. So he says, the next Sunday, I decided I was going to go back, but this time I was going to go by myself and just see if it was a fluke. So he said, I went and I sat back down, same place, right at the back of the church, and I sat there. And the service just spoke to me. And the pastor was starting a series that week on faithfulness. And it was like he was reading right into my soul, like it wasn't anybody else in the place. He said, I walked out of that place just deeply moved. The next week I went back, and then I went back again. And then he said, I called my estranged wife. Hello? And she just, you know, pretty cold, pretty hurt kind of sound on the other end. Says, I'm not going to ask you for anything or whatever. I don't want to argue. I just want to ask you, would you go to church with me next week? He goes, what? Would you go to church with me? There's a lot, I can't explain it all. Just would you go with me? And she said, okay. So the next Sunday he brought his wife. And they sat there. Same place. And the Spirit of God was moving, and he said, touched her heart. They came back the next week together, and the next week together. To make a long story short, they both surrendered their lives to the Lord in that place. And then, not only did they surrender their lives to the Lord, their marriage was put back together. God just miraculously began to weave their hearts back together. He renounced this affair, got everything straightened out. Their kids got involved in the kids' ministry. Their kids came to Christ. And as he's talking, tears running down his face, we're all crying. He says, in that place, right there, that's where I was sitting. He says, these bricks and mortar, this stuff isn't anything. It's just a place that we have dedicated for God to work. And he touched me here that day. It involved the musical people that day. It involved the people who were the technical people behind the scenes, the people who were paying bills, the people who helped construct the place, the people. It was a group effort of thousands of people, actually, to make that all possible. But God used it to touch my heart. And he says, and the funniest thing is, I was a tight-fisted atheist. And guess what spiritual gifts God gave me? He says, he gave me the gift of giving and the gift of evangelism. He says, I can't stop telling people about Jesus. It's just this gift. Everywhere I go, he says, I'm telling people about Jesus. And I'm inviting them to my church. And he says, it's unbelievable. And then he says, I can't give enough. I support mission projects. I support construction projects. People who are in need. I just can't give enough. I just love giving. He says, doesn't God have a sense of humor? And he says, I'm living the best days of my life. I had no idea what I was missing. God doesn't want you to miss the best days of your life. He's designed you. He's wired you. He's called you to be a part of a body of believers, to discover your gift, and then begin to experience the excitement that he has planned for you so that you're making a significant difference and the life of his kingdom. And there's nothing greater than being significant in God's purposes. So I want to invite you to take this thing seriously. If you've not done your inventory yet, do it. And come back next week as we discover a little bit more of how we can apply those things. And then I just believe this year, some of you are going to launch into an experience like you've never had before. And you're going to be able to say at the end of next year, wow, once I was sitting on the bleachers, now I'm on the playing field and I like it so much more. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you, in your ultimate wisdom, have given us gifts. Gifts that we can use for your kingdom. Be they technical gifts, be they creative musical gifts, be they helping behind the scenes gifts, teaching, leadership, whatever. That you wired us to be a part of your kingdom, to together make a difference in this community for you. Thank you, Lord. You're so creative and so incredible. Bless us as we are in this discovery process. Be with each one of us as we examine our lives and we ask you, Lord, where you want us, how you want to use us. And we know that you're going to reveal that to us and take us on an adventure like we've never been on before. Thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and let's sing a praise song together before we leave.